What happens when one of Silicon Valley's sharpest minds decides to wage a decade-long war against a media empire? In 2016, Hulk Hogan won $140 million against Gawker Media for publishing his sex tape. The world shrugged, another celebrity lawsuit. Then came the twist. Peter Thiel, the billionaire who co-founded PayPal and invested early in Facebook, had secretly bankrolled the entire operation. This wasn't impulsive revenge. It was a chess game played across 10 years, with moves so calculated that even Barack Obama's team studied it afterward. Thiel had nursed his grudge since 2007, when Gawker casually outed him as gay without permission. While most people would have fumed and moved on, Thiel did something different. He waited, planned, and systematically dismantled one of the internet's most fearless media companies. This is the story of how patience, secrecy, and unlimited resources can reshape the world, and what that means for the rest of us. December 19, 2007. ValleyWag posted under 400 words, "Peter Thiel is totally gay, people." His sexuality wasn't secret among close friends, but he'd kept it private. He wanted recognition for selling PayPal for $1.5 billion and betting early on Facebook, not for whom he dated. Worse was Gawker founder Nick Denton's dismissive comment asking why Thiel had been so paranoid about hiding it. That casual cruelty, the assumption that privacy was paranoia, captured Denton's entire philosophy. Denton had billed Gawker on the rage of the creative underclass, smart, underpaid millennials with access to grind. He gamified journalism, displaying view counts and ranking writers by traffic. His motto, news without access, favor, or discretion, meant burn sources, name names, run stolen material. This generated 40 million annually and 40 million monthly readers. Within 24 hours, Gawker published follow-ups naming Thiel's boyfriend. Combined views, over 500,000. As attacks continued, mocking his politics, questioning his investments, his hedge fund suffered massive losses. In his mind, Gawker was a Manhattan-based terrorist organization. Most people respond to public humiliation with immediate counterattack or silence. Thiel chose a third path, patient, methodical planning for complete destruction. From 2007 to 2011, Thiel contemplated the Gawker problem with fellow tech moguls. His calculation? If there's a 20% chance Gawker costs him $1 billion, spending $200 million to prevent it makes sense. Gawker's attacks created Gawker jitters that made Silicon Valley less ambitious, blending fear, honor, and self-interest in Thiel's mind. By 2011, traditional channels, legal threats, complaints to editors, appeals to investors, proved useless. The turning point came when a young man, Mr. A, presented an ambitious plan. Despite Thiel's skepticism, Mr. A's challenge proved irresistible. Peter, if everyone thought that way, what would the world look like? Thiel committed $10 million, insisting on complete anonymity. Mr. A recruited Charles Harder, a hungry attorney handling routine celebrity cases. Their operation formed like a startup. Mr. A as president, Harder as CEO, Thiel as majority shareholder. Secrecy was essential. Discovery midway would be catastrophic. Every aspect was designed for misdirection. Harder's Los Angeles firm avoided Silicon Valley connections, Mr. A had no discernible link to Thiel, and communications used encrypted apps with self-deleting messages. "With patience and resources, we can do almost anything," Mr. A often said, contrasting sharply with Denton's get-it-out-there approach. The conspirators eliminated illegal strategies, operating entirely within the legal system. Harder explored Gawker's vulnerabilities, discovering their pattern of publishing celebrity nudes, sex tapes, and forced outings. Their opportunity arrived in October 2012 when Gawker editor AJ Dallario received an anonymous package containing a sex tape featuring Hulk Hogan. Despite knowing the footage was likely recorded without consent and that other outlets had declined to publish it, Dallario created a highlight reel and published it. When Hogan's attorney sent cease and desist letters, Gawker dismissed them and celebrated the traffic spike. The humiliation devastated Hogan. He broke down crying off-air during a media tour, then suffered a panic attack learning his former best friend knew about the recording. When Charles Harder called offering help from a wealthy client, Thiel gave the green light within days. While the Hogan case proceeded, Harder pursued complementary attacks, some funded by Thiel, others not, creating a confusing pattern. When Gawker published Lena Dunham's leaked book proposal, Harder's cease and desist forced its removal, establishing cover while gathering intelligence. His team contacted former employees and hired investigators, revealing Gawker's extensive use of unpaid internships, creating a third front through an employment lawsuit. In 2014, the Gamergate controversy erupted as an autonomous but beneficial front. When a Gawker writer joked about bringing back bullying against nerds, followers launched a devastating email campaign to advertisers during National Bullying Awareness Month. Major companies like Mercedes-Benz pulled out, costing Gawker hundreds of thousands. The psychological burden of secrecy was immense. Thiel admitted, "There is this weird thing where you want to brag about these things you're not supposed to." At dinner parties, while friends spoke freely of their successes, the conspirators remained silent. As Roman General Metellus Pius once said when asked about his plans, "If my tunic could tell, I would burn it." Despite today's preference for transparency, they understood secrecy wasn't just the best option, it was the only one. They also employed active deception. Harder deliberately played into Gawker's perception that Hogan was financially outmatched, repeatedly complaining about their exponentially greater financial resources. This overconfidence blinded Gawker to hidden advantages. In a brilliant tactical move, Harder dropped the emotional distress claim, forcing Gawker's insurance company to exit, eliminating a deep-pocketed settlement source and leaving Gawker alone with a depleted war chest. Like a persistence hunter, Thiel wore Gawker down from multiple angles. They vaguely sensed enemies but couldn't connect the dots. So confident was Denton that in September 2014, 2 years into the conspiracy, he reached out to Thiel for coffee. "A good entrepreneur could deal with a couple of these things," Mr. A would say, "but five or six is too much." Despite courthouse fanfare, Harder's lawsuit stalled for months. The breakthrough came from Gawker itself. In September 2013, AJ Dallario appeared for deposition, viewing the case as basically nonsense. Already departed from Gawker and possibly hungover, he treated testimony with casual indifference. Asked if he'd considered whether publishing would distress Hogan, he answered, no. Asked if he didn't care, no. Asked if he would have published knowing it would cause distress, sure, yes. Then came a fateful joke. Asked what celebrity sex tape wouldn't be newsworthy, he replied, if they were a child. Asked under what age, he answered, four. His emotionless delivery didn't read as humor on video, crucial in a case hinging on video evidence. Denton's deposition showed similar arrogance. He appeared calm and wry, eager to explain himself to well-intentioned idiots. Remarkably, he admitted never watching the tape at the center of the $100 million lawsuit. The explanation was simple: inexperience. None of the 9 Gawker employees deposed had ever been deposed before. 6 had never experienced any deposition whatsoever. This was striking given Gawker's extensive legal history, sued at least a dozen times, but not a single case had reached discovery. They'd walked through the raindrops for over a decade. That arrogance was about to cost them everything. The trial began March 7, 2016, after both sides spent nearly $10 million. The turning point came when Dallario testified about dismissing a woman's pleas to remove a video of her having possibly non-consensual sex while drunk, telling her not to make a big deal out of it. Jurors visibly gripped their seats. After 6 hours, they awarded Hogan $140 million. While Hogan sobbed, "They believed me," Mr. A called Thiel in China, whose students had no idea what their professor had orchestrated. But secrecy unraveled. Forbes broke the story May 24, 2016. 2 days later, Thiel confessed to the New York Times. The narrative flipped. Suddenly, a megalomaniacal billionaire threatened free speech. By November 2016, Gawker paid roughly $31 million and ceased publishing. The consequences extended beyond the verdict. Thiel discovered ordinary Americans rejected elite assumptions, influencing his Trump support. Denton and Dallario confronted their egos and emerged better. The sex tape actually disappeared. The ultimate irony? Thiel gave those opposing powerful interests a playbook. The clearest lesson is the power of secrecy, coordination, and pushing past nothing can be done. Not for revenge, but for justice.